Bill, it has been the hottest of minutes since we've used this.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your personal life. Listeners love that stuff.
You guessed it. It's time to get personal.
What the hell happened to you? You got banned from Twitter?
I did, yes. Banned for life, you know, because I am a bad boy for life.
You really are. You're the bad boy of Twitter. Billy Audio, Billy Biceps, and here he is. He's back and banned from Twitter. What happened?
Outlaw the DSG. I didn't pull what one of our friend Marco pulled many moons ago. Nothing too bad. Just a bunch of copyright claims.
Probably. No salacious picks. We're not talking about like...
Nope, didn't snap anything, didn't send anything.
You didn't do like hot dogs or a penis kind of thing.
Nope, hot dog, not a hot dog, none of that. But thank you, Jin Yang, for creating that wonderful app. No, it was just copyright claim, and the big one was the Bag Raiders song, that bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, I was trying to explain this today on a shared interest of ours in DraftKings when I do that dream stream, and I couldn't explain it better. Like, how would you explain where that song, like that meme, like comes from?
It was just one of those ones that they would take somebody who fell or flew away or something and then just put them through space and water and time and all that kind of stuff. I did one with Tuukka Rask in like 2017, and apparently there was some big lawsuit with Katy Perry in there too. I don't know. And they were just like, you need to appeal it to like the actual lawyers of the band, and I'm not going to do that. So, and they said it was one of many copyright claims. So I'll just keep creating Twitter accounts till I get banned again.
Listen, we've been tossed off of YouTube left and right, but never banned. So now, what's your handle? I have to do an intro in a second. So where can people find you?
I'm an English major too. I'm Your Billy Too, YOURE Billy TOO.
That blows.
Yeah.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Woo. 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 Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi, and as far as I know, you can still follow me across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. Our little Twitter handle is at the Pop Culture PD because it wasn't enough characters. We're not the police, but hell, if you smash that follow button, it'll instantly make you, I guess, non-banned from Twitter, because I don't even know if I'm following you now anymore. But my tag team partner here in the podcast sphere, he can be followed at Your Billy Too, some horse crap, because he got banned from Twitter for being the baddest boy on the planet with the biceps. His name is Billy Audio. He can also, I think you got banned from OnlyFans now too. I don't know the account anymore. This is throwing everything off. The whole thing is ruined, but he is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. I had an idea. What if I delete my account? Can I get the name back?
Ooh, I'm
guessing switcheroo.
Find out. Listen, I've been trying to find just getting at Jason Rossi for years. There's some poser out there who's had it since who hasn't used it since 2012, and allegedly after a 10-year window, you can get a Twitter handle. But Twitter's only been around for 15 years, so I don't know how many people have tested that. But yeah, try it. What the hell do you have to lose? So what again is your handle? Your Billy Too.
I'm gonna make it something different. We'll figure it out. It's pretty easy to rename.
Yeah, you're pulling a Doc right now. Like, Doc was switching his Twitter handle every 5 minutes. I still don't know what his Twitter handle is, but I got his cell phone, so I text him. Anyways, you can follow along this podcast wherever you may be, whatever podcast app you may use. That we prefer iTunes, because you can leave us a 5-star review and give us like a little thumbs up and say, hey, we appreciate y'all. You can also find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever the freaking podcasts are. We're there because I spent way too much time early in this podcast time to put us out there. You can also find us as a part of the Dorkshared Gooniverse on Facebook, which we are live on right now. We're also live over on YouTube, and you can watch full episodes of our YouTube with probably a lot of delays, cracks, and please go back and watch last week's. I think you should leave season two rankings because Billy Audio was in full effect. You bled over to something else. We'll get into that in a moment. You can check out Frank Says Hi, our nonprofit sponsor, franksayshi.com, where you can help donate. We are doing some fundraising sooner in this year. We're also going to give you the tally of how many five-star reviews we got next week because some of them kind of pour in late, Bill, I've noticed on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You can like leave a review on July 1st and it's July 27th. Several people have said, oh yeah, it's in there. But it ain't visible. Yeah, I don't know what iTunes is doing. They kick off Mac and Goo at times, not putting up five-star reviews, trying to really squander us. But anywho, we help raise funds for those going through cancer treatment for experiential events just to get the mind off of it. If you want to help donate, you can check out franksayshi.com. The music comes from Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah. We saw them live. 2 weeks ago, a part of them. My buddy Rye, who does our songs, has another band. They're Co-Pilot. Go check both of them out. They're all over Spotify. And breaking news into PCP. I am now Billy D 2411, but the 11 is spelt out. So Billy D 24, the word 11.
Jesus Christ! You couldn't do like 24-1?
Nope, taken.
24-12.
Taken.
24 and the word 11. All right, we're going to keep changing that as the show goes on as we record live here on the YouTube, on the Facebook. But Bill, man, it's been a ride. We were very fortunate to be a part of the Change My Mind podcast this week, which is live right now. Are you laughing because I said fortunate?
No, it's just we're always fortunate to be a part of somebody's podcast, but it always appears that they're unfortunate when we're on there.
Something. Either I'm horrible, you got Billy Audio. I don't know. We stink. This podcast
used to be a piece of shit.
I truly used to be a piece of shit, Bill, but people can change. My baby, hold on. Sleeping. We're good. I didn't cry. Oh, what's that? Anyways, but we were fortunate to be on there. We did a ensemble cast draft. Real fun podcast. Again, listen just for Billy alone. If you want to know how to ruin a podcast, you should listen to that. But yes, check that out. So we are bringing in for today's topic, Bill, we're going to do best ensemble cast. No categories. That was TV's movie. It was really unique and it was a lot of fun. But we bring on the star of that show, the face to the heel of Nick Fryer. It is Wes from Change My Mind. What's up, Wes?
Hey, hey, happy to be here. I don't know about the star of the show. I think it's the Fry guy, and then I'm just happy to be here. You know, he is always Nick Fryer, comedian for hire, who's on fire.
Has anyone hired him, though?
Well, I think everybody's, he's plenty hired. Yeah, hasn't been fired, though. That's the real question.
He's like Kanye. He's through the wire.
Oh, see, I see where we're going here. I like this. I'm not sure how many more rhymes I got. Ooh.
You guys got more?
No, this whole thing has gone haywire. Oh, wow. There we go. Okay, we got it.
There you go. All right. So we are going to go through some of the best ensemble casts in film history. There's three of us. We're each going to pick five because we could do this all day. We'll go through some honorable mentions. Some were tweeted at us. We'll take a peek at those. But when you guys first hear like ensemble cast, and obviously it could be a movie you're going to speak of, and that's fine. But like Bill or Wes, was there a certain movie that just like, boom, as soon as you heard that, you're like, oh, that movie is the definition in your mind of what an ensemble cast is?
I mean, for me, it was one of my top ones, and it was Horrible Bosses, because to me, that one was like all the actors of like an earlier generation and the new generation in one movie. And I was like, is this going to be any good? And it was a home run.
Wes, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's Ocean's 11 for me. I think I've said this on the Change My Mind pod as well, but that's like what I think of the quintessential. I'm also a big sucker for heist movies as well. But, I think a couple movies that might jump up on this list, this type of genre, so to speak, that we saw this in like the early 2000s, where you get these huge blockbuster casts that all kind of cross over in this like serendipitous meeting of moments type things. And those are kind of really great ensemble casts as well. How good those movies are, that's debatable, but good ensemble cast nonetheless.
And wasn't Ocean's 11 from like the 50s too, with like the Rat Pack? And that was one of like the first ensemble like kind of cast, besides like Singing in the Rain, that just had like every talented person, because there were only a few of them then.
Yeah. I'm not a big Sinatra guy, though, in the Rat Pack. Do you know many people who are like Sinatra, like big Sinatra people?
My grandfather was.
Music.
Well, like our age, though.
No, God, no.
A little bit older, but no. Like, I had a phase where I was like listening to a lot of Sinatra, but acting-wise, not for me.
I know a couple people who are very big into Sinatra, like who are our age or younger. And I can't help but think of like, it's Roy Donk at like 20 years before he becomes Roy Donk, you know? And that's just a little bit of my personal life bleeding over in the podcast there. But I don't know if you know those people. Like,
maybe, are they theater people? Are they Twitter. Dancing people? Theater dancing people?
It could be, I think some people could, I don't know. I just don't know. Like Frank Sinatra's great. He's great for people who can't sing.
Yeah.
I've been a picker, a gun in a pants.
Anyone can sing along. It's great. You just kind of talk. It's like, what's his name? William Shatner doing Rocket Man.
little lounge style.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Let's get into this though. When it comes to ensemble cast, the first one, not that jumps off the page, I guess you could say, but one that like, just I thought of when I'm like, what is the best? Like, what is a movie that brought all these different actors and characters together and knocked it out of the park? And I could have went a few ways here, and I'm going to include an MCU movie and what I still believe is the best MCU movie and the best use of multiple characters, over 20 characters having multiple storylines. That is Avengers Infinity War. So you're getting everybody. You got Downey, you got Hemsworth, you're getting Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Cumberbatch, Don Cheadle, Tom Holland, Chadwick Boseman. You get, Paul Bettany in here, because you know what? You got to have respect for Vision. Elizabeth Olsen, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, you got Higgleston. It literally everybody. Idris Elba, who plays like such a small role and just like very quick in this movie. It is just, you know, Dave Bautista. Like everybody, Vin Diesel is Groot, like Bradley Cooper, Gwyneth Paltrow. This is a star-studded cast, and I'm still in awe of how amazing this movie was, how they brought all these things together for this film. And I think, you know, again, you could have just went original Avengers if you wanted to. You could really pick a lot of these movies, but I think this one did it best using all the actors to their actual like best use and not just like, I'll throw them in there for 2 seconds.
From the guy who doesn't like the movie Avengers Endgame.
I do not.
Okay, so yeah, that was my question. So you're a sequel guy, though, right? Don't you usually think sequels are better than the originals?
No, the third is the best, the second's the worst, even though it's proven out for the second's actually the best of most movies. Yes.
I just think anything that's starts as a trilogy stinks, even though I'm going to contradict myself a little later. But I'm more of a big fan of a movie like this. By the way, this is like, what, film 18 out of 21. It's a whole different, but... With that being said, yeah, I just think, again, the reason this is better than Endgame to me is you literally have all the characters, the entire film, and we're getting from scene to scene, and the movie's shorter, technically, than Endgame. But that's not what this is about. I just think Infinity War was, like, the perfect use of, like, over 20 actors being used to their premium. Not just, like, oh, there's a guest star of that actor, like, legit storyline throughout.
Yeah, I think that's a great one to go into. I think I actually prefer Infinity War a little bit, you know, slightly more than Endgame as well, just because, you know, that cliffhanger at the end kind of does it a little bit more for me than you know, the satisfying endings. But I like that. That's a good, strong picker. I got another Marvel movie that might show up a little bit later here. I did a little switch up from, you know, some of the titles that I gave you earlier.
No, gotcha. All right. Billy, what were you? Oh, I know. I love that. I love a wild card. Wild card, Bill, which one will you be selecting? What is one of your favorite?
All right, so it's legit my favorite movie of all time, and this is not hyperbole. You know this from me for a fact. It is one of the early ones. It is about a board game. It is the movie Clue. This cast, a couple of them at the time were big, you know, Elaine Brennan, Leslie Ann Warren was Miss Scarlet, and then you have the real heavy hitters of the day. Madeline Kahn at the absolute top of her game as Mrs. White. Tim Curry as Wadsworth. Christopher Lloyd as Professor Plum, who's a bit of a perv. Martin Mull, also a bit of a perv. So it was really just, to me, like the first time I saw an ensemble cast, and they took such an out-of-the-park, you know, it was legit a board game. They made a movie out of it with several different endings, and I think it's one of the best dry comedies ever made.
Yeah, it's funny to look back and like where those actors were before, like, because a lot of them to me are nameless, faceless, like from when I was younger, now having a little bit of history and, you know, pulling up the old Google machine. But yeah, these are some actors that were like heavy swingers back then. Like, this is young Tim Curry, so he wasn't like as known. Even Christopher Lloyd in his role, like he had had many roles throughout the time. But you mentioned Madeline Kahn, some of these actresses who you're like, wait, what movie are you, what project are you taking on at a time where they weren't, you know, movies weren't at a premium. They were legit selecting this.
Yeah, and I think this is a very on-brand pick for Billy here. Clue right off the top, you know, again, no hyper Billy. Is that the phrase?
No hyper Billy.
Yeah, okay. I want to make sure I'm getting the nomenclature down to the PCP world here. I want to assimilate here. I like it. Good strong pick here. I'm going to go with a movie that's gotten a lot of shade later in life here, which I'm not sure if it's warranted as much. I'm going with The Departed. I love it. I think that's a classic movie. It's a good feel good movie. I can pop it on at any point, you know, kind of really watch it. It gives me good feelings. I don't know why. It just does. It just brings back good memories for me. But I mean, regardless of what you think about the movie, you got Leonardo DiCaprio, you got Matt Damon, you got Jack Nicholson, you got Mark Wahlberg. When the movie can make me appreciate Mark Wahlberg and his role and actually like make him shine, that's how you know they did a good job there. Excuse me, Martin Sheen, you got Ray Winstone, who goes like, you know, from Hitman at Mr. French all the way to like top of the food chain as Dracoff in Black Widow, you know, really kind of working his way up there. Vera Farmiga, you know, poor Boston accent at all. You even get a little Anthony Anderson who makes an appearance. You got Alec Baldwin, Patriot Act, baby, Patriot Act. You know, again, all these guys are just kind of like fighting for their little bit of screen time here. And I think that's what makes a great ensemble movie is that each one is kind of throwing 90 miles an hour. And these are all stars here. And they're all kind of just looking for their little moment to shine.
Yeah, I 100%. This was a home run hit here for me because this is literally a lot of actors in either prime, right after prime. But like to be in a gangster movie, I just think was excellent. And in some of the performances in this movie, I believe The Departed won Best Picture.
It probably shouldn't have, to be honest with you, because it was a pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of, what was it, Internal Affairs, I think, is the actual movie there. But, you know, a Lifetime Achievement Award for Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, I think it was Scorsese finally, you know, getting there and obviously just getting all these actors together. Like, well, we just have to throw the award so people do this more often. But with that being said, like, this cast and this movie, regardless of the weird feel-good side for you, also just has some of the best, like, cinematography, I think, in this film, where just people like the last 30 minutes of this film alone, watching what these actors or the characters that these actors portray go through is absolutely insane. From the Martin Sheen slowly falling off of a roof to just gunshot in the head. It's like Call of Duty, just straight head cheese the rest of the way for that film. And it is quite amazing.
Yeah, and I think the main thing that Wes pointed out right from the get go is it gets panned as a bad movie. Am I having internet problems now, too?
No, I didn't want to cut you off, but anyway.
So okay. No, but like it gets panned as a bad movie because I think of the accents, and I think that's it. I think that people look back and only remember that and forget it was an actual great movie.
Yeah, and again, if I could just explain my reason of why I love it, I think I have a little bit. So the movie comes out in 2011. I was going to school in New York at that time. So, you know, you're in enemy territory. You want a good reminder of Boston, of home. Like that was, I think, really one of the first movies that was a successful big market movie that was set in Boston, where like the theme, the setting was really one of the characters as well. It felt like, you know, what was the Jimmy Fallon Fever Pitch movie? That doesn't really do it.
Yes. One of Rossi's favorites.
Doesn't really do it, right? But
one of my favorite baseball movies.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible film. We're talking about two of the greatest films back to back, Wes. Oof. I should have put that on my list aside from I couldn't tell you many of the actors, but I will pick up one that I remember as a kid. I didn't know the weight that this movie had for people. This is Pulp Fiction. You got John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Uma Thurman, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth, funny enough. You have Vig Rames. You had Roseanne Arquette, Bruce Willis, just an onslaught of mid-90s actors in their legitimate prime. And this film, to this day, is maybe, here we go, this could be a take, it's like the hardest film to follow while watching straightforward, while also being like the easiest film to watch. Like, it just goes from like, it's like listening to Billy's audio on Change My Mind this week. Like, you're oddly fascinated to continue to go through it, even though you have no idea what the hell anybody, like, what you just watched actually happened 45 minutes before the scene you saw previous to that. And it's a humble mess. It's so creative. But again, to all these actors to put out a film like that at that time kind of blows my mind. Like, it just goes and shows the power of all of a sudden I can't remember who my
Quentin Tarantino.
Thank you. Thank you. Just what his weight, because they basically, to think like they filmed that film, like obviously all the you know, stories and things that have come up, they filmed it obviously normally. And then he's like, hey, guess what I'm about to do? He's like, I'm going to chop this thing up and place things all over the place. It's like an odd Rubik's Cube of a film.
Oh, I like that. That's a good piece of imagery right there. A Rubik's Cube of a film. And anyone who can kind of resurrect the career of John Travolta, right? I mean, that's a great – you talk about kind of hitting people at the right moments. He wasn't really there, right? He kind of brought him back out of anonymity, you know, Saturday Night Fever 2 weeks later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this was right before he went on to put the movie Michael together, if you guys remember that. Outstanding film.
I think I saw that in theaters, or no, it was a Phenomenon. I saw Phenomenon in theaters. That was another John Travolta.
I don't even know what that is.
I believe he gets a gift from God. Oddly enough, the shtick is kind of playing out a little further in real life here. But he's like, he's like a gift from God. I forget what it is. I kind of forget it. But
either way, these movies are absolutely horrible. But yes, those were them. Then, you know, he had Face Off. It really was also the resurgence. So that also, like, to go to Wes's point, like, yeah, it brought him back. We had like Samuel Jackson, who, I swear, from that point on, from Pulp Fiction on, he's been in like 7 movies a year. Like, yeah. I don't know if Dork or Mac and Goo have ever done one of their like run throughs of Samuel Jackson, but I think the podcast would be 4.5 days long.
Yeah, his agent needs some sort of pat in the back. He needs his flowers or something like that, because that's got to be the hardest working guy in show business, because Samuel Jackson is the hardest working guy in show business. It's like, behind every good man is a good woman, but it's like in Hollywood, it's a good agent probably, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't turn down anything, apparently.
No. Nope.
Take a job at McDonald's.
Right now,
I think in his first movie, he tried to rob a McDowell's.
Actually, just fun fact for y'all, where I live, there is a McDonald's that has a now hiring, start this week, $17.50 an hour. Because nobody wants to work there.
Wow.
Nobody wants minimum wage. In general, like the workplace, not this isn't politics talk here, but like it was bizarre. For a while, it said McDonald's like now hiring. Then it said now hiring $17.50. Now hiring, start this week, $17.50 an hour.
Yeah, and you know, pretty soon, like this time next year, it's just going to be all automated devices, and they're not even going to have jobs there. So,
and then everyone's going to complain about it.
Yes, Bill, yep, absolutely. That's talking politics.
All right, so I dropped this one a little bit earlier when I was talking, and it is Horrible Bosses. Mm. It has, at one time, my favorite actor, kind of he who must not be named right now, but Kevin Spacey is a. Despite him being one of the worst people, is a fantastic actor. Jason Sudeikis, who now is on top of the world. Jason Bateman, Charlie Day. And then you even have, what's her name? Rachel from...
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, escaping me now. And then the cokehead guy, Colin Farrell, who's probably my favorite character in the entire movie. Yeah. And it is so great how quickly everything comes together. And then probably my favorite guest appearance in the movie out of nowhere is Motherfucker Jones, Jamie Foxx. So this one just delivers on top and on top. Like, it just keeps coming with great appearances. And was this the first sexy movie for Jennifer Aniston? Like the one where she was just like a Hellcat out of nowhere?
Yes. I think especially where she was kind of in her MILFy stage too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in Friends she did the topless thing, had the nips out often. But, you know, this was like, yeah.
This was her. She did Horrible Bosses. Then a few years later did We Are the Millers with like kind of like a strippy tease scene, flash dance look. Yeah, she went on a little bit of a tear. And then there was rumors, the movie she did with Jason Bateman or no, with Paul Rudd, when they're like in some weird like village. I can't remember the movie off the top of my head because it sucked, but they like go into some weird like
Wanderlust.
Thank you. She was gonna unleash the puppies, but her Justin Trudeau, who was her fiance at the time, I believe they're now divorced, said allegedly, People Magazine covers told me that, but she said she had never felt more confident in her body than she did. And I think she was at the time like 41 or 42.
God damn.
I mean, good for her. It shows, you know. But the one redeeming scene from that Wanderlust movie is the Paul Rudd looking in the mirror as he's about to, cheat on his wife with the blonde girl. And he's like, I'm going to stick my dicks in you, and you're going through all that. And he's like,
The movie has moments. We'll give you
I start cry laughing when I do it. It's like a Rich Keefe type of thing, you know, when I start watching that scene again.
All right, Wes, what's your next ensemble?
Oh, it's on me here. Okay. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to go, you know, play to the ladies a little bit. I just found out that PCP has a very high female listenership.
No, Dem Pineapple Boys.
Oh, wow. Excuse me.
All right. Wow. We have no. Don't worry, Wes. We are the official podcast of the DSG Wives and Girlfriends. So
that's true. Yeah, we have to bring that back. That's a good point. But I'm going with Bridesmaids here, you know, because never a maid of honor, but always a bridesmaid there. So isn't that the saying or something like that? But yeah,
always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah. Or like, you know, real men aren't maid of honor. I don't know. There's some play on words there, but maid of honor, maid of honor. I don't know. Something you could say there. But anyway,
you made something out of it.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph. You got who else you got in here? I'm going down the list. Ellie Kemper. Wow, this IMDb list has like everyone way down the bottom. Melissa McCarthy, Rose Byrne, Tim Heidecker, Andy Buckley, Chris O'Dowd. You know, this whole, again, very, very fun group. Who is the actress from Reno 911?
The blonde girl. So, she's great.
Wendy McClendon-Covey here. That now I see her. Yes, but you know, very very fun. We have Rebel Wilson who makes a nice guest appearance in there. You know, we have a lot of these. You know, it's a Paul Feige movie, but it kind of isn't it. If I'm not mistaken, an Apatow joint, like, or is it produced by Apatow? Like, so
it sure feels like one.
Yeah,
he's got his fingers on there. He put his pesky paws on there.
He probably put the slow part in there.
You could put, exactly right. That's the classic third act, long third act there. But you know, any Apatow movie, I think you could kind of put on this list too, from the comedic aspect point of things.
Yeah, this is a great call, because this was like originally, I remember when this movie was coming out and you saw all the names, and like, you know, I was surprised you didn't go Ghostbusters on us, Wes, the female version. But
it's Ocean's 8 still on the board.
It sure is. With that being said, I remember when this is coming out and everyone's like, oh, it's like a female Hangover. They're just trying to be the Hangover. And dare I say, to have all the haters already start on that level, like, this movie accomplished so much. First of all, hilarious. This is a movie, like, for you, The Departed, A Bridesmaid for me is like, pop it on, just hysterically laugh. The pooping scene gets me every time. Oh, and there's no visual poop. It's
look
not
away.
Like not like Dumb and Dumber-er, which not a lot of people saw, but there's a great poop scene there with Bob Saget.
There's shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
Bob Saget, I think, right? Bob Saget's in that scene?
Bob Saget. That movie, Gate, listen, that's a hell of a cast, too. The guy from, like, Blue Mountain State. But anyways, that movie, I think it's absolutely hilarious. And I think, like, you get all these women, like Melissa McCarthy, who hadn't quite broken out just yet. Like, this was that performance for her. Maya Rudolph, who was, like, a home run hitter on Saturday Night Live, then breaking onto, you know, the silver screen. You've seen her in so many movies since, and usually always like that nice side character. Rose Byrne's made a nice career for herself, especially, you know, not always a comedic actress in the beginning. Then look at like all the, like, look at Bridesmaids
and,
look at
and everything.
Everything has been comedy since. So I think this is a great, great call.
And unlike The Hangover, they went with a star-studded cast, where The Hangover kind of went relatively unknowns for the most part. Like, nobody really knew a lot of those guys at the time, besides maybe Bradley Cooper.
Maybe, yeah. I think that's a good point too. And you talk about maybe the lull in SNL and not really producing those crossover stars a little bit, right? And Maya Rudolph's that, Kristen Wiig is that, and this is, you know, they didn't really have too many big that cast there that you talk about, that core group with the Jason Sudeikis of the world, that Bill Hader's, like, that was kind of a nice renaissance period for SNL there.
Yeah, and also, I apologize, I may have blanked out or had a brain aneurysm for a minute, but John Hamm also being involved with Bridesmaid, like, he was the big name in a sense, and he plays such a minor, complete, like, that's why I truly believe this man's a dick in real life, because when I see that character, I just feel like that's him. We all know that guy in our lives.
It's awesome. The faces that he makes in the opening scenes where they're having sex, it's great.
Oh, great stuff. We go from one oddly more comic romantic comedy to a movie I didn't see till 2 years ago and was just struck and like hit over the head with how many stars are in this movie. Now, not necessarily all used to their best abilities, but find a role for them all. Love Actually. And Bill, I believe you are a big proponent of this film, aren't you?
I'm not a big proponent of the film. I think it does that kind of unique storytelling thing first and does it pretty well, but I don't think it's an overall like fun movie. I think it's a well-told story.
Oh, there's nudity throughout, Bill. Come on, you don't like good nudity. You got Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, Hugh Grant, Karen Knightley, Colin Firth. You get Liam Neeson in there. You have small roles for guys like Billy Bob Thornton. Starting to think of the people. Chris Marshall. I'm trying to think of people. Andrew Lincoln, who went on to The Walking Dead fame. Just funny to see him prior to that. And I don't really know when we're going to see him do anything else after this. But also seeing like Liam Neeson in a like – and as a romantic, like as a father, like looking for love post, like, and he's not murdering people or hunting them down. This movie actually, like I watched it on, I think it was Christmas Eve, just again, 2 or 3 years back.
It is a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm. It is a Christmas movie and it's really well done. Like I had originally on this list, He's Just Not That Into You. Cause I thought I actually kind of liked that movie, but then I was like, okay, what else is in that ilk? There's Valentine's Day. There's New Year's Eve. There's Thanksgiving Day. There's the night before Thanksgiving. There's
There's legitimately a Mother's Day. I think there's like a legit,
I saw that stupid ass movie with my mother on Mother's Day like 8 years ago. That movie sucks. But this movie, I think out of all of those, while I do like, she's just not that into because it, I don't know, it makes me laugh. And
I like also, it too. I've seen it.
It's, it, you know, the small, again, you don't get a lot of doses of people you may not like, and you get a lot of sexy time with is it Scarlett Johansson? Yeah, she's looking.
Scarlett and Bradley Cooper, or is it Ben Affleck? I can't remember.
No, Ben Affleck's with Jennifer Gardner, and he smokes that. That's Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly. And the film we're talking about, Love Actually, pulls off all the things we're looking at you're talking about very well. It's a really well done, I think, movie, as Billy, as you mentioned, and also brought us that, like, ever since Bob Dylan, the whole, like, writing words while, like, on pages slipping, you know, to say a message because you don't want to cheat on your best friend's
wife. I hated that part of the movie, by the way.
He's a scumbag. The guy's a scumbag. I'm sorry. I just...
Total scumbag.
And up, never saw the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never saw. But this is what I was talking about, that kind of serendipitous meetings where everyone kind of interchanges with one another and stuff, right? There's another movie that I have on my list that I might throw out there a little bit later that's very similar to that.
No spoilers, but the big come together moment is like a child's holiday parade. So beware and be ready. Get your tissues ready, and then you want to punch people in the face because they're hitting on his like best friend's wife. So just that prior coming to your wife. That's all.
Okay. Is this happy tissues or sad tissues?
There's a couple happy tissues moments in the movie. Trust me on that.
Nice.
There might be a couple of fryer tissue moments too. So for me, this is kind of it turned out to be an ensemble cast, but it kind of was beforehand too. Like all of them kind of had one big movie right before this movie, and it's The Breakfast Club, and it's pretty much just them, right? You got and every single one of them has been in an episode of Psych, because that's like one of James Rodet's, the guy who created his favorite movie. So like Ally Sheedy's been in it, Anthony Michael Hall's played a big part, Emilio Estevez as the only one to not be in it is him. Molly Ringwald plays the big basically the big bad for like three seasons in the show. She's like the supervillain. And then, of course, Judd Nelson. He was the only one who really didn't have anything before this. They were kind of all in one of those teeny bopper movies that kind of put them on the page to get them in this movie. But this movie still holds up to me. I think the ending scene is one of, you know, still one of the best things when he's walking away with the "Don't you forget about me." That'll live on forever. That's just, you know, the classic bad boy, hot girl. And I think they all kind of nailed those roles. And for me, it's funny to see Anthony Michael Hall later in his career. He's now like a bully and taking like mean roles, which I kind of love.
Smoke up, son. Merry Christmas.
You know what I got for Christmas? Pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Smoke up, Johnny.
Yeah, that's great. That's at least he came back with a pack of cigarettes. Most fathers would just say they were going to go get them and then never return ever.
That's how I leave a chat now. I just say I'm going to get a pack of cigarettes, and then Billy has left this chat.
Or he gets banned from Twitter.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. The D stands for deplatformed, right? I'm going to reuse that joke from a little bit earlier there. Is this going back to me? Is this my turn?
What is your next one of your best ensemble casts in the history of film?
Okay, so I am going to go back to the MCU here, but I'm going to go with Black Panther, 2018 selection. Again, star-studded cast for what is essentially a origin film, you know, or standalone kind of movie there, right? Chadwick Boseman, RIP. You got Michael B. Jordan, who can do no wrong. He's more like Michael A. Jordan, am I right? Lupita Nyong'o. You got Martin Freeman, which is probably the only name I can pronounce on this cast as it is. Daniel Kaluuya. Letitia Wright, who was a little bit of a newcomer. You know, of course, played Shuri here. But didn't really know her, but she's kind of burst onto the scene a little bit. Winston Duke, Sterling K. Brown, Angela Bassett, Forrest Whitaker, Andy Serkis. Let me see. Anyone else? That's a pretty strong cast here. But again, a lot of representation of old, new, and current and everything like that.
Yeah, this is a good call because also this film came out and obviously – The times we're living in with like the thought process on like, oh, it's a majority of like a black or an African American cast and people like had all these thoughts. And then the film plays out and first of all, no one's thinking about it when you're watching the movie, but like it is an incredible film, great story, nominated for Best Picture, which is like unheard of when it comes to superhero films. Like we talked about Infinity War earlier, which I still think like from all the aspects of film is like a superior film to most of the films we've even talked about, aside of like a handful, like a Pulp Fiction maybe. But this is like an insanely well done movie, and like you said, they bring in, especially bring in like the Angela Bassetts, the Forrest Whitakers, who bring like, you know, not just namesake, not that people are buying tickets for Forrest Whitaker in 2018 or whenever this movie was, or 17 when it was released, but still bringing in like these people you just didn't think were going to get involved. This is when the MCU turned like, we're going to make you a thing now. Like, you want to be a part of this. Like, right. It had already kind of happened, but like when we got to this point, and again, you mentioned it stands alone in its own right till like the post-credit scene. They didn't really bleed anything into this film for the rest of the MCU throughout the entire main portion of the picture.
Yeah, and it's an ensemble cast of old and young, like you mentioned, like Michael B. Jordan to Forrest Whitaker. They kind of like ran the gambit, whereas something like, you know, another movie I might name too, like A Breakfast Club, is just like that age group, and they just tried to get them all.
Yeah, and if you want to throw in the soundtrack too, I mean, that kind of goes into the whole ensemble, and that's certainly another character in the movie, I think, to a certain degree there. But again, I think that was up for Grammys, right? Grammy Awards, winning Grammys, whether that was The Weeknd or Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar won for, I think, best like song from a soundtrack, because they do the full soundtrack, then they do songs from soundtrack, and I believe that did win best like original song from a soundtrack.
Like an 8 Mile type of thing, right? Lose Yourself type of thing. Yeah.
And that's a whole interesting topic for the future, Bill, like a modern day best soundtracks. Because people don't look at soundtracks like they used to, right? Like soundtracks people used to like put out, like Red Hot Chili Peppers released songs for soundtracks, for Conan soundtracks, which is bizarre. And like not on their albums. And nowadays, I mean, music's just kind of like open to the public in a whole different way. But like, what are the good soundtracks from the last like 10, 15 years? I feel like no one's like, oh, I own this
besides Guardians, and that's not like, that was all like curated music. It wasn't really
but that's still good,
made for the soundtrack.
Spider-Verse, that Swae Lee Post
Malone song, that was probably Sunflower, right? That was the
Yeah, Billy just discovered that song last year, but that's a story for another.
That's a different Post Malone song.
But it's a good summer song, though. Yeah. If you're looking for a good summer playlist.
All right, so I will. We got like two each left. This one's the most modern on my list, and a movie that I thought was absolutely excellent, and that is Knives Out. Knives Out has Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Don Johnson, which, are you kidding me? Like, what?
Don phenomenal.
He was. Toni Collette, who is probably the most underrated actress of the generation. Like, get this woman all the awards ASAP. If you've seen the movie Hereditary, you know what I'm talking about. Then you had Christopher Plummer. You had Frank Oz. You even had Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a very, very small, just a voice, and you know he's our guy. Just an incredible cast, and you get some newcomers in there as well. And Ana de Armas, I believe I'm saying her name correctly.
You should be saying her name correctly.
Am I saying it right?
Oh, you say her name, yeah.
You're goddamn right. but with all that, like, that is just, the movie's great, but this cast, it just kind of was jaw-dropping to see the names on there when this movie, just you saw the original, like, trailer, and you're like, whoa, this guy, then that guy, then this actress, wow. And it just, and then if you watch the film, they're not all necessarily used to like for full feature film length, But just even like having guys like Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis for majority of that film was still very intriguing to me. And then, you know, spicing in the rest of them in their callback way of the way the film was produced.
Yeah, it's a Clue with a little bit of Tarantino to it, right? It was phenomenally shot, phenomenally done. I know Mac will never see it because what's his name directed it?
Ryan Johnson.
Ryan Johnson. He's not a Ryan Johnson guy.
Is that a Star Wars hate?
It's a Star Wars hate thing, which I think is insane because Daniel Craig's performance in this was good enough. And Netflix gives, you know, they'll give me a show if I pitch one, probably. But they gave him, what, a 3-picture deal to do his character, Benoit LeBlanc, which was, you know, he's up there with Ted Lasso as one of the more entertaining characters to come out of this decade.
It's such a weird reference point, but now I get what you're saying. But yes, yeah, he's phenomenal. And Bill, use your word there. And there will be a Knives Out 2 that will be coming out. So
and 3 and 4.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's gonna be great stuff. Nonetheless, that's a great moment of when the show hosts aren't listening. That's
well, I knew there was a 2. I just didn't know that was all. I thought Knives Out
was like different. Right after. So it's like, what do you think about that, Bill?
I thought the Daniel Craig
character was going to be even better because there's going to be a sequel. That's great stuff.
I thought the Daniel Craig thing was a separate whole topic. I thought that was his own spinoff.
No, movie. And Netflix is doing a second, third, and fourth.
I didn't know it was Knives Out. My bad.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be multiple knives out, right? There won't be just a single.
We get the whole drawer open here.
Yeah. Question for you. I don't know if you guys have this on your list here. Maybe this could be a good mid round break question. But we had Wes the Wheelman chime in. I think when we were announcing this coming into about having I forget what it was, but it was an animated movie nonetheless. What are your thoughts on the animated movies here for ensemble cast? I had a tough time going about it because it didn't really feel like it was them. It feels easier to me. I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
I think it counts still. Because I would put some of my Fable. No, I mean, well, difference of opinion here. But I really like Archer as one of my favorite ensemble TV shows because the voices are what make the character. And you know all of those guys. You know Chris Parnell's face. And they kind of make him look like that guy. The guy who plays Archer looks nothing like Archer. But, like, his voice is so distinctive. You kind of need those famous people to, like, pop you out. And was it Lucille Bluth? Her voice is so synonymous as like that mother. I think that helps it already helps build the character by having a certain voice behind it.
Yeah, I'm out on anything being given credit for ensemble cast for cartoons. Hate on it. He referenced Planes, Fire, and Rescue, just so you know. And the cast has Dane Cook. You have Julie Bowen, Brad Garrett, Terry Hatcher, Kurt Armstrong, Ed Harris, Regina King, Brian Kellen, I think, Dan Pardo. You got a who's who of like Fred Willard's in
people,
there.
Yeah, but besides
Cedric the Entertainer.
Not many of those people are known as known voice actors. They're not commodities in the voice community for the most part. So I don't really count that.
Like, I hear what you're saying, Billy, there, because I think of, like, Big Mouth, right? And, like, you can almost hear the actors' voices there, right? You don't even necessarily need – you can kind of picture it in your mind's eye. But, like, I think, like, for these – it's just such an easy payday for these actors. Like, again, I go back to the agents in Hollywood. Like, if I would tell my agent, be like, hire me for every voiceover role, for every animated role. Pixar, I don't care what the role is. I'm doing it. It's going to be – what, 12 hours worth of work or just spitting out lines for like $6 million, $8 million and then call it a day.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, and Wes, you kind of used the word easy. I don't want to, I know you didn't mean it that way, but I feel like, yeah, like I don't look at movies like the same way as when these actors are fully pouring in like those months and in tenuous hours. Again, no disrespect, but I've always said, I want to see more animated films like we got, like, obviously, you're going to – I know Robin Williams, but like Aladdin, some of those voices, like who the hell was Jasmine? Who the hell was Aladdin? Like who are these people? I like that. Give me that. It's a good place to showcase people that are voice actors, you know, instead of just placing, you know, Brad Pitt has a big name. We'll put him in this animated film and it'll sell tickets. Like I think the first one that I remember was Madagascar. It's like all these famous actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. And you see the commercials and they look like us right now, like with a microphone. It's like, starring Chris Rock and all this. I'm like, no, get out of here.
I don't know. I think Shrek really helps it out having Eddie Murphy as Donkey. Like, you kind of needed that.
No, I mean, look, I see both sides of it, but again, I just think it's like, you know, it's a marginalized community, the voiceover community, you know. Mm-hmm. They're already marginalized to begin with. And then just to have a big name actor to come in and take their position because they're the sexy, you know, it's marginal at best.
Name value over voice acting is what I think. And I'm Bill, you also pulled out some of the greats for like Archer and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which some of those actresses did a lot of voice work prior to becoming great actresses. But with that being said, Bill, we'll be your next ensemble cast.
All right. So this is kind of like this is technically a B movie, best in show.
I enjoyed this movie.
Oh, I love
Willard
movie.
Too, right? Isn't
Willard in there? Yeah.
The pick of the pod, Fred Willard. My condolences, obviously. Christopher Guest, he's in it. He directs it. He writes it with Eugene Levy. I mean, Eugene Levy has been everywhere. He's been in American Pie and Jennifer Coolidge. Stifler's mom's in this movie. Fred Willard, ooh. Catherine O'Hare, who when I was little, I was like, this is just the lady from Home Alone. Little did you know she's one of the greatest comedic actors of all time. Mm-hmm. And there's so many of those type of guys, like Will Sasso's in it. John Michael Higgins, who's like one of the best character. They kind of just pulled all of the character actors of the day, put him in this comedy movie. And I love it. I think that anytime you have those over the top announcers in a movie is one of my favorite gimmicks. Like Pitch Perfect has it. Mm-hmm. They do like the huge broadcast team in
Dodgeball.
That's Dodgeball. Yeah. What is it? Pepper Needs a New Pair of Shorts. Bold Strategy Cotton. So like this is that kind of comedy movie that just kind of brings all of the lower level kind of like B-tier players in. And I think they do a great job of giving you a movie. Again, this is like my kind of stuff, like a dry comedy. Like this include doesn't get any more drier. Mm. But I think it's just, you know, this is probably a cult classic. One of the few that we've picked here.
Yes, that would be. I think I'd fit that in there, and I love that you have Will Sasso as a part of the ensemble cast, and that's the reason why. So you got to vote for
me. I'm just going. They had Michael McKean way down on the cast list. It was not like they didn't stack it properly.
I'm not joking about that. I'm a big Mad TV fan. I was Mad TV for life there for a few years.
Oh wow, that felt like a little too risque for him. I'm not sure if that was allowed in the Sykes household.
Oh, he looked like a man. He looked like a man, and the guy who was like a baby man. There was some good stuff back then, but
just liked it because Bret Hart was on it.
He did. He had a feud with Will Sasso. That was a whole other side story in 1999. But Wes, will be yours.
Well, I teased this a little bit earlier with the serendipitous, meetings and whatnot here. But give me a Crazy Stupid Love 2011. For my money, I think that's the best of those. Style that genre of movies. You got Steve Carell with a complete renaissance turned into a little bit of a sex symbol with the help of Ryan Gosling, who was already a sex symbol, but I think he went to that point of like Notebook, you know, girl loving sex symbol to like guys also acknowledging like this guy's the shit, I want to be him sort of thing. So it was kind of like universal at that point. But then you get Julianne Moore, Emma Stone, who, again, a big kind of, coming out to the next level, I would say, for her. Who else do you have? And Marissa Tomei. You have Kevin Bacon, David Lindhagen in there is one of the great all-time villains and reveals. That was very nice there. You find out about the term cuckold. I think that kind of became into American culture a little bit forward there. Then Josh Groban. We had Josh Groban making a guest appearance. Who doesn't love a nice opera singer? But again, this type of meeting where like everyone is kind of having their own little side story and then it all comes together for one big act. It's very, very good stuff. Also, Leo Tipton's in there. Anna Lee Tipton, who's the babysitter, I think. She's actually a cute looker now.
Yeah, she's a little sex cat right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch out. Perfect.
This movie probably makes 7 degrees, or is it 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? Pretty easy.
Oh, very easy, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the movie right there.
The latter portion of Kevin Bacon's career from like 2000 on, the movies he's done, he's usually with like other very famous people. So yeah, the game's become a little bit null and void. We need to find a new actor to do it with. But yeah, that's a great call. That's kind of that similar like Love Actually style of movie. But that movie actually, I think, is a damn good movie.
I love it. Yeah.
Another very watchable film. Comes across as a total chick flick, but again, it is. But at the same time, just a great romantic comedy for those of you that like to, want to
move. The guys can enjoy it too, though. It's welcoming. Absolutely. It's a soft rom-com.
Absolutely agree. So we'll rip through our final ones here. Listen to this cast. I'm not going to tell you the movie because it's just an amazing array of actors and, I guess, celebrities put in a film. Ray J, Jack Black, Pam Grier, Christina Applegate, Sylvia Sidney. She was an actress from the 30s. Jim Brown, former NFL player. Maybe heard of him. Sets all the records as a running back. Yeah. Natalie Portman. Lucas Haas. Who's Lucas Haas, you ask? Have you ever seen the video for Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance? Yeah, that's him. Tom Jones. We got Michael J. Fox. Sarah Jessica Parker. Martin Short. Danny
DeVito. Is it Mars Attacks? Pierce
Brosnan. Annette Bening. Glenn Close. And Jack Nicholson. Yes, Bill. It is Mars Attacks.
Ray J. was in this?
Ray J was in this, Bill.
I thought you were going Kim K's sex tape off the rip.
How many people do you think were in there? Yes, this film.
Wait. Were we just talking about Kim Kardashian? That's an ensemble cast as it is. Yes. How many people were in there?
We'll do that one next week. But honestly, this movie kind of blows, I'm not going to lie, but is maybe one of the best, like, for what this is literally like. There was that movie, what, movie 21 or I might
43. Yeah, I thought you were going with this for a second. Yeah.
That had a ridiculous cast like this. But that movie's just like literally everybody's in 2 seconds. It's a that may be the worst film ever made.
Corey Brewer's in that movie.
I love Mars Attacks, holds a place in my heart for how ridiculous it was. And as a kid, like the aliens, the sounds, the look. But looking at who these actors were at this time, some of the most nominated actors and actresses of all time, like Jack Nicholson is like one of the most highly nominated actors of all time. Glenn Close, one of the highest actresses nominated of all time. This is such a shit movie, and it's not even close. It is horrible. It is like now I would watch it for nostalgia, but I could never show this to like my nieces or nephews or people like 10 to 15 years younger than me, and they'll get any enjoyment. The movie's horrendous. But to see all these actors together, you cannot give this movie – you have to give this movie, should I say, its credit and its due for just pulling all these people together. What an amazing, amazing cast.
I remember seeing this in the theater with my parents. So I think it was like – it was PG-13, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah, that era, I think everything was like PG-13.
And Jim Brown was like the hero of the movie, I think.
Yeah, he was – well, one of them. You know, you know who the real hero was? It was
– Ray J.?
No, it was Leanne Rimes, I think, was her song, or Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Merle Haggard.
Whoever it was, but it was just a ridiculous – the whole movie's absolutely ridiculous. And just to see, like, again, this is – what is his name? Again, Pierce Brosnan during, like, his 007 run. Like, it's insane. This movie's insane.
And this had to come right after, like, on the heels of Independence Day or, like, right around that time.
It was
right?
before. So it was like, right before the aliens, right after.
It was 1996, the same year it was released. So it was the winter of the same year of Independence Day, which is insane.
Yeah, so really capitalizing on the alien invasion kind of run that they had there. And I think that was also around the time of, like, disaster movies, too. So that maybe not Armageddon, but, like, the Dante's Peak or Deep Impact and all those type of, like, double movies that were going on there. I think it plays. I never watched this one though, because I think it looks so bad that I just couldn't get around to it. You know, like I think the look of it looked like it was supposed to be bad, and I actually
they're my favorite depiction of aliens because they look like Krang, basically. Yeah, just like if you like took the top off of Krang, it's the brain inside of the little thing. And was Deep Impact the other movie with Ray J? Was that the Kim Kardashian?
Super deep, extra deep impact.
Actually, that's damn good.
All right. So my final one, it's me, right? My turn?
Yes. My turn.
Yeah. School hat. This is the end. I'm just going to put it out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of another – I don't think I've picked a real ensemble cast. Like, this is basically just like one of those old Hollywood movies where they have the real people acting as themselves.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's James Franco. And my favorite thing about this movie – and I don't know if you've actually ever heard this, Rossi, so you might be offended. But everybody says this is the end.
Okay.
People say that you remind them of Jonah Hill in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I get that. No, you know what I get the most?
It's me, it's J-Bone.
Yeah, I get Jonah Hill from Get Him to the Greek. I've never seen that film, but a lot of people, because obviously I worked in when I was doing music stuff, like, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, that's you, dude. That's you. But I've gotten a lot of Jonah Hill in my day, so I will take no offense. I take no offense to anybody that's famous, Bill.
And then, you know, Seth Rogen's obviously one of the biggest parts. Jay Baruchel, who I absolutely hate. I didn't even know. I think he's terrible. And like when
Have
I found
you ever
out.
Seen She's Out of My League?
My favorite movies he does are the tough. How to Train Your Dragon because you can't see his face. Danny McBride and Craig Robinson, I think, actually steal the fucking show in this movie. The just the towel that he carries as a fat guy. And we have friends like that who have to bring those
take
to weddings.
Take your panties off.
So good. Yeah, Michael Cera's in the beginning. He's blowing coke in people's faces. I hope that's kind of based on real life. Emma Watson, Minnie Kaling, but like Rihanna, Kevin Hart, like they're all in the beginning of this movie. So it's just a fun movie, and I think it gets better on rewatch. And I want like most of these guys must be friends. I know that Rogan and Baruchel were like they grew up together in Canada, right? Like they were like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, but like the chemistry between all of them in this movie is what makes it, and I think it gets better every single time I rewatch it. And I had super low expectations going into this film, and was blown away by it.
I agree. This was something I waited to watch until it came on TV, on HBO or something like that. And I was very surprised. It immediately became one of my favorite movies. Again, one of those like feel good. If nothing's on, you kind of pop it on. You can kind of doesn't matter at what point it is. Very rewatchable. And it's just nice to have in the background. Feels like you're hanging out with your friends kind of.
Does have that vibe. Like, that is true. I remember I was against this movie for a little bit because I thought it just looked stupid. It looked like one of those films that'd be a waste of money. But executed very well. Story is actually really funny, and the things that happen throughout it. Aziz Ansari, I think, also is a sneaky play for in this film. But yeah, this is a really good call, and was at the height of every single person in this movie's like career. You know, Michael Cera might have been a little past it because we didn't really know what to expect next. But everybody else is like doing major films outside of this. It was really cool to see all like friends get together and make a really dumbass film.
But again, too, you talk about like, oh, I haven't seen Michael Cera for a while. And then you come out and he's like a big cokehead and like party animal when he's like, again, that good boy image, clean cut. Like, that's really funny to me. Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed that. My last pick here, I could go in a couple of different directions. We have honorable mentions. We'll run through some of those.
Yeah, we'll pop through
that. All right. Well, then, okay. Yeah. So give me The Nutty Professor starring Eddie Murphy. But in all seriousness, though, Eddie Murphy does deserve a little bit of credit for this because not only did he put on all the fat suit like our guy Carl Havoc did, and pulled it off, right? I mean, the chin didn't kill or anything like that, right? There's a lot of different places you can go there with it. But, you know, he did actually carry that movie, and it was a huge success. I love that movie. That was a very funny movie.
Yeah, it was a poor man's Big Mama's house, but I get you.
No, he only played one role, Big Mama, and that came out after The Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy did like four or five.
I'm all joking, of course, but this movie literally
offended me like that. I'll claim my fault.
I brought you into a podcast, and I offended you, and at the end too. but honestly, The Nutty Professor, it's like I'm not really giving you credit for an ensemble cast, but I will say to just go to the point though, like. I remember growing up, and I'm a more Michael Myers guy for what he was able to do with the Austin Powers. But like, this goes underappreciated in the year 2021, and I feel like that's Eddie Murphy in some weird ways. Like, I feel like people kind of have forgotten all he did. And Billy, you mentioned earlier, even his donkey. Like, this guy is insanely good. Almost at more hits than misses. I know he had that last couple like 5 years of his career that was a little weird with like 100 words or 1,000 words.
Right.
And
yeah.
Dolomite was excellent. And this guy was so big. Comedy. Yeah. Comedy. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I think he got Oscar noms or Golden Globe noms or something. Yeah.
There was no films. There was no films. I got Oscar noms by myself.
Fair, yeah.
But like this guy was so big in movies and comedy that he literally had a body double he would send places for him. That's how big crazy this guy was. Then he had that weird thing with the escort on the street, kind of fell off the face of the earth for a while and, you know, kind of forgotten. But like, he is one of the biggest stars in the history of the world.
One of the best. And you talk about, I mean, you talk about like having someone carry a movie, like we were saying about, you know, about the animated movies. I mean, this is it. And this was like, you know, something original. Let's get Eddie, or I guess it was a remake. It's not really original. but let's give Eddie Murphy, you know, 90 minutes just to own a movie. And let's just let him cook. And let's give him $30 million to do it. You know, why don't they do that with Michael B. Jordan? I guess they are with the Black Superman movie that he's like handling everything with.
But. Didn't Lucy pick this movie also number one in your cinema draft one time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Was it this or the Clumps?
It better not have been the Clumps. I think it's
the Clumps.
No, it's this one. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say that it was this one.
And just again to say, this movie is excellent. Yeah, Jerry Lewis, eat your heart out, because Eddie Murphy took your movie 40 years later and absolutely knocked it out of the park. Just quickly, what if you guys want to toss out some of your honorable mentions and not go as deep dive in?
I only have a couple here. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Again, one of those ones where some of them had roles before and some of them it was like their first big role as an actor. But I think that one wound up, now that you look at it, is a ridiculous ensemble cast. And then this one I remember my sister was a huge fan of back in the day, is Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for the Memories, Julie Newmar with Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes, and John Leguizamo. And there was like a bunch of other people in that movie, but I just remember like they were drag queens. And it's a fun movie.
I know that.
The movie's oddly like fascinating. And as a kid, I was very confused growing up. I went back to watch that like maybe 10, 15 years ago now. And I was like, wow, this movie's like really good. It has some deep and has a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bad here.
Yeah, I'm going to just throw one very quickly that had that to me was Crash. Like that movie, I didn't know much about it. I know it was nominated, had a lot of big names in it. Sandra Bullock, Don Cheadle, Matt Dillon. I had Brandon Fraser, shout out. Terrence Howard, Ludacris, doing some acting outside of the Fast and Furious, shocker. Ryan Phillippe. You have Michael Pena, who also came to some fame here in the MCU in latter years. Like you have really good actors in that movie. And that's another one of those movies that was super big in the like 03, 04 era. And now is just kind of lost in the midst of millions of movies that have been released in the streaming days, but very strong movie and just a ridiculously powerful cast.
Yeah, and very like serious drama, right? To like almost in comparison to our Love Actually, Crazy Stupid Love rom-coms, but it's that same type of style, but just with a grittier drama with a lot more serious storyline.
Very feel good movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put it on when I'm in a good mood. Anchorman, of course, right? You gotta get that out there. That needs, you know, nothing else to say there. Mean Girls. I thought that was another one kind of in the same vein as Bridesmaids, but Mean Girls are very, you know, that five, and then you just have the mother, and then who's the principal there?
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows, fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I think he's still on Saturday Night Live, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, is he still? Yeah, him and Goldberg.
yeah, him and I like to call him Keenan, even though I know that's his real name, but Keenan Thompson, but I like to call him Keenan from Keenan and Kel.
I was almost there.
You're driving the bus.
Goldberg to Knuckle Puck, D2 to Mighty Ducks. That was the leap there. What was I going to say? Super Troopers, that Broken Lizard group, not very well known, but I think that's a fun ensemble together that works well together.
I'm going to say a weird take on this. I would actually put like a Club Dread, because Super Troopers, I feel, is where their fame came from. Then they became that cast. But that's, picking straws, if you will. Sure. It's like picking the hairs out of your asshole. I get it.
Okay, it's kind of like the 40-year-old Virgin, where a lot of those guys you didn't really know in that movie, and then that turned out to be a giant ensemble cast.
Yes.
That's a really good point, Bill, because I remember when that movie came out. It was Paul Rudd was like the known guy, but he hadn't done anything really big in a while. And it's so funny if you watch that film throughout, like the people that are pop in and out of that film from Jonah Hill, Kevin Hart, like it's
Elizabeth Banks. That's got to be the first thing like she was really big in, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that I can recall from. Yeah.
Yep.
You mentioned Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Dazed and Confused, kind of launching a lot of careers for people there, with one Matthew McConaughey, Ben Affleck there, among others. School Ties, a lot of the same people in 1992 launching the careers for, I don't know what this group was called. I don't know if it was the Brat Pack or what, but it was like Brendan Fraser, Matt Damon, Chris O'Donnell, Cole Hauser, Ben Affleck. Again, like everyone, all those guys, if you listen to Bill Simmons at all, were all like the same movies around that same time.
They were known as the new Brat Pack, which if you know anything about anything or a thing or two about a thing or two, is that like in wrestling, there's a theory. If you label anything new, means it's just not as good as what was previous to that. And this is a good example of that, but a really excellent movie.
Yeah, and then lastly, Parenthood. This is what, one of my father's favorite movies, but with Steve Martin. You got Mary Steenburgen, who's the mother from Step Brothers there, Diane West, Rick Moranis. You got Keanu Reeves in the movie, Joaquin Phoenix too, young Keanu Reeves, young Joaquin Phoenix. So good movie. And again, maybe not a, you know, good, cheaper by the dozen, Parenthood, all kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, only one of them has Superman in it, though, but I'll take cheaper by the dozen. With that all being said, those are our picks for some of the best ensemble cast. Let us know your thoughts. You can tweet at the Pop Culture PD or at Change My Mind, which is it C? What's your Twitter handle?
Change My Mind Pod.
Oh, all the words?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lot of characters you got in there, but look at you guys. You get it done. You get it done. Yeah. This point, we take all the junk that's in our minds, take them out, and put them out to you guys. So, Bill, anything you've been watching and or listening to recently?
Yeah, so I watched, did I mention I watched all of Dark Side of the Ring on the last pod? I don't think so. I think we were tight for time.
But we got scrapped for time because you talked in four times in a row.
Yeah, that's true. So I watched most of season one and two, and as a wrestling fan who already kind of knew most of that stuff, damn. Was that entertaining? I think I spent all of a Sunday just literally probably 10 hours in front of the TV just ripping right through it. I also watched Mayor of Easttown. That was an amazing show. I was enthralled from start to finish. Were you the one who was like, wasn't a big fan? No, you were.
I liked it. It was just very depressing. And like, there's only so much depression I can take in a film or a TV show for so long.
Yeah, I mean, but like, that's kind of real life. I mean, just listen to, you know, with my stories on a daily
basis. That's my point, Bill. I want to go to television for the escapes. I'm going to watch, you know, when I really am down, I want to watch The Departed and get a smile on my face.
You got Ted Lasso season two coming out. You're fine.
It's out. And, it's out.
My favorite song of the year, Dua Lipa with DaBaby. Now, DaBaby's in some hot water, so they're talking about getting rid of him from the song. So how do you make one hit record into two? The remix. How do you make two hit records into three? Get somebody else to do another rap verse in that same song and re-release it. So I would put Lil Nas X in the running to fill in for the spot there. He's had, you know, some big hits as of late, but do you guys have anybody that you would want to see featured with Dua Lipa?
What's up with DaBaby?
He had some very bad remarks recently on stage.
He's being canceled.
Yeah, he's being canceled.
He's in the midst of cancellation.
This baby thing that kind of came up is much like the little surge in like the late 90s to early 2000s, where now I know I'm old because I can't keep straight DaBaby, little baby. You know, there's a lot of these things there. It's like the little Wangs, little Turks, little Chains, little, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I, if I had to pick somebody, I told you, I feel like DaBaby was sleeping throughout that verse, so he didn't have much energy to me. Lil Nas X feels like, I'm sorry, Lil Nas Yesterday.
Montero's a jam.
Sure. You know what? I have nobody to say, but for some reason, because I have the Lil and Wes just went on his soliloquy about all these names, for some reason Lil Romeo just came to my head. Mm. And I want to see the return of Lil Romeo and his dad, Master P. Throw a couple a couple soldiers, throw that in there, it'd be a hot record.
I mean, if you want a melodic, kind of boring rapper to take the place of DaBaby, Master P kind of rapped like that, so you fit right.
How about something a little sped up that feels like boiling water? Maybe a nice simmer. Amigos.
Ooh, yeah, I could do that. That would be huge. That would get a ton of people to listen. Or you could go old school. This is what all new rappers do. They just get somebody from Wu-Tang featured on the album, and then it blows up.
Right on the chef. That's all you need to produce. Yeah. You know, that's it. Yeah.
Katy Perry did it. She milked that cow a few years ago. For me, Bill, one of the things I've been – let's just visualize it and think about it later. For me, Bill, I finally finished The Fear Street. For all of you out there who liked R.L. Stine or Goosebumps, Fear Street is basically if you take Goosebumps and all the innocence-ness, or if that's a word, and literally tip it upside down, smash it over the floor, and take a dump on it. Because these movies were – horrifying, like actually scary. Uh-oh. A lot of blood and guts, like people dying. You didn't think we're gonna die. It was just, I actually thought, really well done. If this came out in October, I think it would be like massive. I think there'd be so many more people talking about it. First of all, the name Fear Street is badass.
Yeah.
they just completed the series by doing, they did three different years, and I guess, you know, almost centuries in some ways. It was 1994, 1978, then 1666, because 666. Nice. Yeah. Da-da-da. Anyway, so 1666, good. 1994, better. But the middle one, which is very odd for me because it was produced as a it was the best one, but a little different, because it's all really one film. They broke into three, but nonetheless,
like most trilogies,
Spider-Man 2 is still the worst movie ever made. But with that being said, it was really enjoyable for anybody who likes their horror or anybody who's looking for something that, you know, because now movies are kind of back. I saw, like, call me what you want. I'm a red boxer. I saw that, like, it's a Spiral. I'm keeping it alive, Wes. I'm keeping it alive. $1.
Is it like you showing up to the 7-Eleven at midnight to return?
Let Marcus know too. He'd love
I told him they're still the best podcast name. When I went, my wife and I forget the movie now, but we were really dying to see a film that I went on the application 3 years ago, and we drove 38 minutes away to go get. To find whatever movie it was we really wanted to see for $1.
Just find it on Amazon Prime, Netflix, HBO Max, bucks. Something like that.
It's like $5. I'm saving money. Don't worry about
that. You drove 40 minutes and round trip. Gas is $3 a gallon.
Yeah. All right. Now listen, do you guys remember, maybe you don't, but going to Blockbuster used to be like the thrill of a lifetime, and we needed that. We needed that itch to be scratched. So anyways, but yeah, Redbox has like Spiral, Quiet Place 2. Like, I don't have Paramount Plus, and I don't know how much it is, and Billy doesn't have an account, so I'm not going to watch it there. So a lot of good horror out now for people to see. And then the one other thing, and Wes, you brought this up a little bit. I popped on the Olympics. It's not for me. Summer Olympics blow.
Yeah, I wait for the highlights. I'll watch them replays. I don't watch them live, though, you know? I don't think I really need that too much. I think I am more of a Winter Olympics person, if I do say so myself.
More unique stuff. Well, I will ask you guys this, because there was a study that went out. The Olympians were asked, and also several experts and Olympians, whatever experts are, they asked, what are the most difficult or hardest Olympic sports? There are four that made the top of the list. Can any of you guys take a stab if you think you know what the hardest compared to for Olympians and the experts?
Is this summer? Just summer?
Believe summer. Water polo is on the list. So we'll just say summer.
Yeah, I was going to say water polo and gymnastics as well. Those were the two first two that came to mind.
Is it the triathlon? The
decathlon?
The decathlon.
Yeah.
On there. So there's one more, and I didn't even know. I don't know if they're even. This is a competition, still. I'll be honest, but it's something that is an everyday. Well, not every day, but
walking,
like,
speed walking.
No, but good call. It's on like HBO quite often.
Boxing.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I think boxing is the hardest sport in general.
Ooh,
I don't sleep on speed walking though, because I although I think they did take that off, or it's going to be coming off by the next cycle of Olympics. But it's really technical. Like, you can't lift your knees, or like you have to have one foot planted at certain amount of times. Like, it's amazing. I remember I think a Big Cat from Barstool had retweeted something about this like thrilling match of that was going on between speed walkers, and then it ended up being like, yeah, if you could like picture like a whole group of people just going like this.
It's a fire Yanni just blaring in the background as they come to the finish line.
But I think like the favorite ended up getting disqualified like later after they had already won the match or something like that, because it was an infraction, kind of like someone calling out a golf score, like someone cheating or something.
Found
like
out
that.
They had wheelies in there.
Yeah. And don't forget that someone also fell over. It was 8 years ago now, and dropped a dooski from speed walking. You look it up after this. Just Google speed walking, crap themselves.
Well, that happens a lot in runners and like marathoners stuff. They just like lose control of their bowels. Yeah.
Happens to Rossi on the way home.
Yeah, when you see a mall walker dropping a dump and then passing out, it's quite the sight. Wes, what about you? Anything you've been watching or listening to that you want to share with the peeps?
Yes, on Netflix. I wasn't watching the Fear Stream. Not a big horror person, but I was watching Heist. I mentioned I love heist movies and stuff. So this is a 3-part documentary series. It's 6 parts in total. But they're 3 stories, so 2-part documentaries of each, and they're about 45 minutes a pop. And one is about the bourbon Pappy Gate, Pappy Van Winkle, and all the bourbon that was stolen there, and kind of like this illegal bourbon underground thing that was going on. So, like, you know, 2000s, all kind of recent stuff. Another one had involves like sex magic, very interesting
stuff. Oh, Billy's Bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd recommend that. That was good stuff.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
My wife,
I like a heist. I'll watch it.
Yeah, Netflix. My wife has been kind of itching for that one, and I'm kind of in moments like documentaries. I'm in and out with that.
Sex magic.
Well, I didn't realize what it was. I saw the bourbon heist, and I know that story, but I didn't know about the sex magic.
Yeah. Pappy, not that good, by the way. I don't know if you guys have ever had it before. It's all marketing, probably thanks to the Bourbon Gate.
Yeah. Hey, nothing, no bad press. But yeah, there's that. And then there's this Dr. Death that was a pretty popular podcast that has been turned into a television series on the old cock that my wife's pretty much sweating. So I bet by the time we're on here next week, I'll be delving into that one. There's a lot of good options there. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you're tagging Wes and us on those. But let's find out what people are doing outside of this podcast.
Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so it's the summer of Mac and Goo. I'm not sure when they're doing their 1989 classic Aliens, but I think there might be a Chunky in there too. They might be reviewing season 2 of I Think You Should Leave, like we did a week previous where my audio was terrible. I know that's what the Dork Boys did as well. TLDR will be reading them books. Then Pineapple Boys will be doing the season 2 finale. I am back to posting regularly. I took Wes's advice. I have them in separate seasons now as well. I believe we're on hiatus from a Loki podcast to whatever's coming next.
Yeah, what is next?
Yeah, so we might do something with What If.
Okay.
That appears to be canon at some point to some degree with the splitting of the multiverses. But so we might touch on it. We might not. We're still kind of waiting to hear what the people want.
I would love that. Yeah. If it's anything like WandaVision, if they get goofy with it, I'm going to be all on board there. And then we were featured more Rossi than me because my mic was terrible on Change My Mind yesterday. So go check that out. We drafted groups of people you would like to do activities with, basically.
Yeah, essentially. So it's I love this.
Ensemble cast, yeah.
It's the synergy that we were talking about before here with the podcast of the DSG. So we're talking about the best ensemble movies here, but you head over to Change My Mind right after this, and then you could be like, hey, who would I want to perform a task with? You know, is it the Friends cast? Is it the Seinfeld cast? Like, who would I want to do that with? Like, who would I want to go on a bachelor party with? You know, that type of stuff. So if this wasn't enough for you, you know, we got more ensembles on Change My Mind.
Yeah, with task-oriented draft form at Matt. So please go vote for Billy or I. Please, I, if I could get a dub one of these times. Actually, you know, let's stay on brand. Vote for Billy.
Yeah, vote for tomorrow.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. And Wes, we just appreciate coming on. It was literally, we've had all these different ideas that have kind of had to get backtracked. And when you guys invited us on, it was like, oh, perfect. We'll kind of bleed this in. And I think that's good DSG synergy, as you mentioned. So appreciate your time. Let people know where they can find you and the pod.
Well, you can find the pod anywhere that you can download or access podcasts. That's Change My Mind podcast here. And you can find me on Twitter at Wesley Sykes _. And guys, I'd really just like to apologize for all the communism jokes that we've been saying throughout what feels like the last 6 months. You seem like good people. So, you know, maybe we'll stop the communism jokes. I can't make any promises, but maybe an honest effort.
Listen, we'll just segue into whatever's in the times. You can go into like, you know, we can get real dark, if you will. So just don't apologize. Just make it worse.
Okay. Got it.
Appreciate
We're going to get you on the list.
Yes, please. Billy,
careful throwing around the word list in the communism.
Bill, any final words you have for the peoples?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says aye.